We'll be looking at John chapter 12 this evening. So we're going to be looking at verse 24 mainly, but we'll read from verse 23 to 26 in John chapter 12. And it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." What a marvelous way to describe what was about to come. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour." There's obviously much in that passage to be able to touch on, but I just want to hone in on mainly verse 24 and even touching on verse 25 and 26, but mainly 24. And I want to look at this matter of, I'll just call it the crucified life. The crucified life. There's no doubt that verse 24 is also in connection with the death that the Lord was about to die by crucifixion to come. And it was no doubt an illustration given to his disciples, depicting partly, I would say, the purpose or cause in what was about to come, and then goes on in the following verses to then apply it to his disciples also. And makes it clear in verse 25 about this matter of anyone that loves his life is going to lose it. And the one that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now this almost goes somewhat hand in hand in the message I preached before on all or nothing. But there is an implication here that Christ is bringing out that those that follow him and those that are going to serve him will in essence be those that are characterized by ones that would appear to hate this life and can't wait to get out of here. And I'm going to go as far as to say, I believe the Lord, personally anyway, was also bringing out this element of a true disciple. And a true disciple is characterized by one whose affection is set on things above and not on things of this earth. But in verse 24, the illustration's an interesting one. Anyone, especially speaking to an agricultural community, disciples, fishermen, people very familiar with farming, and he uses the illustration of a corn of wheat falling into the ground. He says, except it does that, and I believe also the point of falling into the ground and die, the idea is to be planted. He says, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. In the same conversation or discourse, we also have John chapter 15. It's the same setting. And we know he told his disciples who's the branch and who's the vine, and without him we can do nothing. But in the initial verses there in chapter 15, he's also exhorting them that by purging, they shall bear much fruit. So we understand that Christ wants us to be bearing much fruit. But it's going to be impossible if you're not dead. Now ask yourself this question, and I'm just going to keep it very simple tonight. Can you genuinely say before God in heaven, tonight, I don't know about yesterday and the day before and so forth, but tonight, that you can honestly say, by the grace of God and for His glory, I am dead to self and I'm still dead. The crucified life, a lot of people have a misconception of what biblical Christianity is. One commentator says that this illustration is true not only in nature but also spiritually speaking, and we understand that. Because we understand, as we're going to look at, if we don't die to self, then Christ will not be magnified in and through us, which is what is designed for His children. True Christianity is not about prosperity and pleasure and popularity. in this life. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. And some seem to think that it's about prosperity, pleasure, and popularity, but it's not. And so I think the sooner we come to terms with that and understand that we are not going to get along with the world if we're going to give our whole heart over to Christ, I think the further along we can get in this matter of bearing much fruit. We are exhorted, rather, to live a crucified life now that we may produce much fruit, and fruit that remains, especially in the life to come. So through death comes life. No planting, no dying, no fruit. Plain and simple. Warren Wiersbe said, Jesus used the image of a seed to illustrate the great spiritual truth that there can be no glory without suffering, no fruitful life without death, no victory without surrender. Of itself, a seed is weak and useless, but when it is planted, it dies and becomes fruitful. There is both beauty and bounty when a seed dies and fulfills its purpose. If a seed could talk, it would no doubt complain about being put in the cold, dark earth. But the only way it can achieve its goal is by being planted. God's children are like seeds. They are small and insignificant, but they have life in them. That is God's life. However, that life can never be fulfilled unless we yield ourselves to God and permit Him to plant us. We must die to self so that we may live unto God, Romans chapter 6. The only way to have a fruitful life is to follow Jesus Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. It's either loneliness or fruitfulness. Losing your life or saving your life. Serving self or serving Christ. Pleasing self or seeking the favor of God. And brethren, this matter of dying to self, I just want to bring to your attention this evening and examine your heart and your life. Can you genuinely say, I am dead and my life is hid in Christ, in God? And I'm not talking about positionally speaking, I'm talking about practice. We know all too well about positional truths. We know all too well about truths of Scripture, and we can rattle them off and we can talk about them, but are they practically outworking in our life? Is it our conviction, not only truths we consent to by intellect? Just simply, I want to give three practical pointers about this matter of dying. Firstly, I want to exhort us, like the Scripture does, to firstly die to the world. Die to the world. Galatians chapter 6:14, Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You know, Paul's affection was not moved by what the world had to offer. He wasn't following anything of the world, neither its dainties, as it were, or its distractions. He had a single focus fixed on God. He didn't care what was out there. He just cared what God thought and what God wanted. And so to him, the world was crucified unto him, and he unto the world. They didn't get along. And for the child of God, we ought not to get along, as it were, with the system of this world and with the fellowship of darkness. The children of light have no place with the children of darkness in terms of fellowship. God has sent us into the world to be in the world, but not of the world. We're to be reaching the world for Christ and not to be conformed to the world. Clearly exhorted in 1 John not to love the world, and not only not to love the world, then it gets specific in verse 15 of chapter 2, neither the things that are in the world. Because those things we often put under, there's nothing wrong with it, and those things are the very things that take our affection and focus away from eternal things and keep them down here on temporal things. And when we get there, if we are saved, if those that are saved, I should say, when you get there, you're going to find you've stored up nothing but maybe wood, hay, and stubble. Love not the world. You've got to be dead to the world. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Christ said, we are in this world, but not of it. How confusing when professing Christians are not only present in this world, but find great pleasure in this world and the things of this world, preferring rather to be a friend of the world than a friend of God. Christ wants us to reach the world, not relish in it. Christ wants us to be conformed to His image, not to the image of the world. So firstly, you got to die to the world. Secondly, you must die to self. Let me say, you must, brethren, we must die to self. We know there is much in the scripture about this, but in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Have you crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, brethren, tonight? Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me to that which Paul was about to enter into." Again, the brethren at that time that were concerned for him, but he said, "None of these things move me. Why? Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You know how another practical way of dying to self, brethren, is when you don't count your life of value. That's what Paul's saying. My life is of no value. As a matter of fact, he was the one that said by the inspiration of God, "I am the chief of sinners. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Paul knew himself, and Paul examined himself and in essence presented himself in the true light and understood, I don't value this life. Matter of fact, we can say of Paul that he hated this life. He was losing his life that he may find it. "Count not my life dear unto myself." And it's interesting, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Yes, positionally, brethren, but practically tonight, can you actually say, "I am dead to me. I am dead to my ways. I am dead to my wants. I am dead to my whatever it is." Okay, the list can go on. Can you honestly say before God, "I'm dead. I'm dead"? You can either serve yourself or the Savior, but it can't be both. You can either serve God or mammon, but it can't be both. Brethren, there's only one we ought to serve. And if self ever gets in the picture of that, then the other one's off the throne. And you and I both know and would say amen that Christ is on the throne and ought to remain on the throne of our heart. But in reality and practically, can you honestly say, "I am not serving myself by God's grace, but serving the one who died for me"? As Christ Himself died to give life to others, so too by death to self we may minister life in others. In 2 Corinthians 4:12, "So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Except we fall to the ground and die, we're not going to bring forth fruit, brethren. And when we die to self, only then will come fruit. And that fruit is life-giving. And like that verse said there, when I said I don't try to get your head around it. Death worketh in us, but life in you. The words of the apostle. And that's what it looks like. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, when he said to them, "Or if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it." We're familiar with these verses, brethren, but are they a reality? Jim Elliot, amongst others, had a ministry to the Orca Indians. They had a burden for them and sought to reach them. As a matter of fact, they literally lost their lives to minister life to them. And Jim Elliot said, "I have had to make a cross of two logs and lie down on it to show the Indians what I mean to crucify a man." And the reason why I want to share that quote, as simple as it is because, brethren, we hear these truths, but we complicate the simplicity of it, because there's nothing glamorous about a cross. And if it's going to take us laying two logs of wood across each other and laying on it for us to understand, okay, a crucified man has not a will of his own. A crucified man is dead, if not going to die. It's not about him anymore. There's nothing he can pursue anymore. He's crucified. And brethren, the simple picture embedded in your mind that we remember it as we gather together to break bread and remember what Christ has done for us. Don't forget that price that was paid, and there was no, in essence, glory in the cross, as it were. But to Paul, he says, I don't glory in anything but the cross. In a crucified life, it takes the Spirit of God in your heart that gives you that desire and that yearning. But are you dead to self? Are you crucified? Are you crucified? Are you still on that cross? Have you taken up your cross? Which leads me to the third point. Die to the world, yes. Die to self, imperative. But die daily. Die daily. Brethren, you know, if we do not die daily, we are in essence making by default, not consciously, but by default, provision for the flesh. Because you and I both know, we don't know what's going to happen today. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But there are things that can and often, and more often than none, do take place on a day-to-day basis that can provoke this flesh that wants to rear its ugly head and wants to have its way. It provokes, it rears its head in many ways, in lusts, in many ways. Look, you think about it. The flesh, in essence, it's about me and it's not about Christ anymore. But when you take up your cross daily, when you die daily, you are reminding yourself, hang on a minute, life ever since salvation came to me is not about me anymore. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I want to do. And let me even say this, even in what I want to do for the Lord, it's about Him and what He wants to do in us. Brethren, the crucified life is not just doing right and not doing wrong. It goes further than that. It's more than that. It's not I, but Christ. Now, this is what I mean by, are you dead to yourself? Because are you walking in such a way where on a consistent basis, you know what the working of God in your heart looks like, and you can genuinely say, by the grace of God, it's not I, but Christ. Like Paul said, work this one out. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Losing His life, the crucified life, brethren, is the way of a Christian. The crucified life has nothing for self and all about the kingdom of God, all about the glory of God. Paul even said it this way. Think about this, about dying daily. Always, he said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know what he's saying? Less of me, more of Him. I'm going to deny me, and I want more of Him, whatever it takes to that end. Brethren, examine your heart. Can you honestly say, I am dead to me? This isn't about me. You know, a dead person can't feel anything. You can kick it. You can do a lot of things to a dead body and nothing happens to it. And I know we've heard that illustration before, but we forget the simplicity of it, don't we? A dead person, brethren, there's nothing there. They're dead. They're dead. And Christ said, that was us, but I've put life in you. And so that life which is now in us, it's not in essence for us. It's to be lived out for Him. He's given us life eternal, brethren. Can we not lose this life, hate this life now for the life to come? That's what He wants of us. Ask yourself the question, are you dead? Are you dead? Or are you right now or today perhaps have actually made provision for that flesh and forgotten take up the cross. But he's dead. I've been crucified with Christ, but I live for him. Paul said, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. To Paul he said, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Salvation made available only by the crucified Saviour. Sanctification is only active in the crucified saint. The crucified life is not just doing right and not doing wrong. It's a life of not I but Christ, brethren. It's a life that dies to self that he may live or give life to others. 2 Corinthians 12:15, and I will very gladly, notice the heart of Paul, very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. Paul wasn't doing what he was doing for the people, even though it was for the people. He laid down his life to serve the people, but brethren, his love was not contingent on their love for him. His love came from an ever-flowing fountain of love. You know why? Because that man was dead. Yes, that man, we understand the heart of Paul for the saints of God and his passion for the church, the cares of the church, even in his own distress, was constantly on his mind. You could see the heart of the man, but it wasn't about him. It was about the one he was serving. And he just wanted to finish his course. As a matter of fact, by the inspiration of God, he said that, didn't he? I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And there's no way we can get there, brethren, by God's grace, if we don't tonight, and if we live to see tomorrow, and if we live to see the day after that, and so on and so forth, if we do not die daily, brethren, we will not finish our course with joy. The crucified life, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. Amen. Amen.